Amen. Calvary does cover it all. Let's go ahead and stand and take your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, please. Standing, we're going to go quickly. We have lost a lot of time this morning, and I want to get a good start on this. We're going to start talking about the Muslim faith, Islam. And there are so many things that I did not know, and I hope that you did not know them too, because it's very, very interesting stuff. If you look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, we're only going to look at one verse. The Bible says in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We know this is speaking of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that we can learn how to deal with people. Lord, when we're out soul winning, we need to know these things. We need to know what they're a little bit about what they're about and where they're coming from. And Lord, we need to know about this one because it's the fastest growing religion in all of the world right now. It's the fastest growing religion in the United States right now. And Lord, we need help. We need help to know exactly what we're doing. So Lord, please help us to get that help today, at least some of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Speaking of Islam, and understand this, exactly like it was when we talked about the Catholics last week, it's exactly the same this week. I am not here to offend anybody. I'm going to give you facts. I'm going to compare these facts with the Scriptures. I'm going to compare them with the Scriptures because this is our only authority. Let me say that again. This is our only authority. This is not our final authority. This is not where we eventually get to authority. This is our only authority. This is what we live and die on. This is where we get all of our information from. So when we go to talk about this a little bit, and the first few things, and understand, I'm going to read these to you, but I want you to hear. I really want you to hear today, because it's amazing some of the parallels you'll find here. Speaking in the religion of Islam, I didn't give you these first two pages. I'm just going to go through these quickly. There are five pillars in Islam, five pillars. These pillars are the framework of Muslim life. They are the testimony of faith, prayer, giving, fasting, and also making a pilgrimage to Mecca one time in their life. The testimony of faith is a testimony of faith with a repetitional type thing that they do that says there is no true God but God and Muhammad is the messenger of God. Now you might say, well, that's foolishness to keep repeating that over and over again until you believe it in your heart. Really? Because if you think about it, what do we do to get saved? We pray, we ask God to come into our heart, and we believe in Him. Amen? And we believe that we get that salvation through Jesus Christ, for by grace you're saved through faith. Understanding that? So you have faith in Jesus Christ, and you do the, listen to me. You might say that this is crazy, but that's not, I'm not saying that this is right. I'm just saying that they are pulling some of that from what the Scripture is talking about. Not talking about Scripture, but pulling it from there. This is what it says. The testimony of faith is saying with conviction, I can't pronounce it, this saying means there is no true God. The first part, there is no true God but God, means that none has the right to be worshipped but God alone, and that God has neither partner, listen to this now, that God has neither partner nor son. So they believe that you worship God, but God has no son. But we fall apart there, amen? Because God did have a son, and that son was our Savior. That's what we read about just a minute ago. This testimony of faith is called Shahada, a simple formula which should be said with conviction in order to convert to Islam. The testimony of faith is the most important pillar of Islam. In other words, their getting saved part, or however you explain it, how they get into being a convert, is the most important testimony of faith. And so is ours. The most important part of our testimony is being saved. Amen? That's the most important thing to us. The second thing is prayer. They are a lot more regimented. We can pray anytime. The Lord says pray without ceasing. They pray five prayers a day. Each prayer does not take more than a few minutes, and prayer in Islam is a direct link between the worshiper and God. There is no intermediaries between God and the worshiper. We can come boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus Christ died for us. Okay? Now, prayers are performed at dawn, noon, mid-afternoon, sunset, and night. A Muslim may pray almost anywhere, such in fields, offices, factories, or universities. Well, we can pray anywhere too, amen? The third pillar is giving. That's zakat. It is means giving a specified percentage on certain properties to certain classes of needy people. The percentage which is due on gold, silver, and cash funds that have reached the amount of 85 grams of gold and held in possession for one lunar year is 2.5%. So you must give 2.5% of all your income to the needy, okay? And that is like pruning of plants. This cutting back balances and encourages new growth. I did not get this, by the way, off of a Baptist site talking about Islam. I got this off of an Islam site talking about Islam, okay? So the things that I'm telling you, this is what they hold on to. Fasting, the month of Ramadan. Every year in the month of Ramadan, all Muslims fast. I thought this was all month long, and they never ate all month. Okay, but listen, that's not true. That's not what they do. Every year in the month of Ramadan, all Muslims fast from dawn until sundown. So about 12 hours, approximately, every day. And they abstain from food and drink and other things, okay? Although the fast is beneficial to health, it is regarded principally as the method of spiritual self-purification by cutting oneself off from worldly comforts even for a short time. So fasting is the other part. And the fifth one is the pilgrimage to Mecca. It's called the Hajj, I think is how they pronounce that. An obligation once in a lifetime for those who are physically and financially able to perform it. About 2 million people go to Mecca every year from every corner of the globe. Now, understand, those five pillars are part of the Muslim faith, but that's not what gets you to heaven. Because I looked through that, and that's not what gets you to heaven. Okay, even according to their website, that's not what gets you to heaven. So those are the five pillars. Those are the five pillars of Islam. Now I want you to look at what you have that I gave you this morning. What do Muslims believe about Jesus? This shocked me. When I read this on this website, this absolutely shocked me, what Muslims believe about Jesus. We read Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." We know that Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, is the Savior of all men. Amen. Amen. What do Muslims believe about Jesus? Muslims respect and revere Jesus. I did not know that, okay? They respect and revere Jesus. Peace be upon him. They consider him one of the greatest of God's messengers. Not a prophet, a messenger. Okay? Well, messengers are angels. They claim God as a prophet, or Jesus as a prophet in one spot and messengers in another spot. Listen to me. Jesus was the Savior. There's no disputing he was the Savior. This is awesome to me. I had no idea. They considered him to be one of the greatest of God's messengers to mankind. The Quran has a chapter in the Quran called Maryam, which it means Mary, and that confirms his virgin birth.
Yeah. Wow.
They believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm stunned too. They believe he's born of a virgin. My question is, why? If he's just a prophet, if he's just a messenger, if he's not God's son, then why must he be born of a virgin? Why is that in there? And where did they get it from? I'm telling you, and listen to what this says. Remember, this is in the Quran. I'm not reading from the King James, I'm reading from the Quran. Remember, when the angel said, "O Mary, God gives you good news of a word from him." Does that not sound a little familiar? That's closer than the NIV to what they have here. "Oh Mary, God gives you good news of a word from him, whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, revered in this world and the hereafter, and one of those brought near. He will speak to the people from his cradle and as a man, and he is of the righteous. She said, "My Lord, how can I have a child when no mortal has touched me?" He said, "So it will be. God creates what he wills. If he decrees a thing, he says to it only be, and it is." Did you have any idea? Hey, listen to me. You got to listen to me. This is the fastest growing religion in this United States of America. And we know nothing about it. We couple this with the terrorists. I'm telling you right now, the first thing you think when you think a Muslim is planes crashing into buildings. Understand this. Yes, there are people out there that are certain factions that do those things. But there are people that are being misled quickly because of very simple miscommunications. Very simple little things that they pull back from. Let me tell you something. You can say what you want. They are closer than the Catholics are. I'm going to be honest with you. We've got to know what these people believe so we can help them. If you go talk to a Muslim, are you going to tell them about Jesus Christ? They're going to tell you right back, I believe in him too. And you're going to be flabbergasted. Say, what do you mean? Okay? The reason that this is being taught is because when you go out soul winning, or when you talk to somebody and you find out that they're of Islam or a Muslim, you need to know what you're about to try to tackle. You need to have a conversation with these people, be able to talk to them. We cannot look at these people like they're terrorists. You need to hear me today. You cannot go around looking at Arab people like they're terrorists. You cannot go around looking at people because immediately you think in your head, well, they're going to shoot me, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. And don't tell me you've never thought that way. Understand this. Every one of these people is a soul to Christ, just like you and I are. And we've got to know what we're doing. It's a shame on us for not knowing these things. Shame on me. I didn't know any of this stuff. Jesus was born miraculously by the command of God. The same command that had brought Adam into being with neither a father nor a mother. God has said, the case of Jesus with God is like the case of Adam. He created him from dust, and then he said to him, be, and he came into being. Now that's not true. That's way off, okay? But understand, they're trying to couple him with Adam, all right? And by the way, they believe Adam was the very first Muslim prophet, okay? Bet you didn't know that either. And what's amazing is they couple Jesus with him. Well, Adam, he was the first Adam, but Jesus is the last Adam. And Jesus was born of a woman, conceived of the Holy Ghost. See, what they do is this. They have only one God, and so do we, but it's a triune Godhead. Amen? The Father has a job. The Son has a job. The Holy Spirit has a job. Okay? All the three in one have a job, but they are three in one. How do you figure that out? I don't know. You get a headache trying to figure that out. But understand this. They believe that there's only one, so there's no Son. If there's no Son, then there's no Savior. Because somebody had to shed blood. Somebody had to die. And that somebody had to have without blemish and without spot, without tainted of man in him. So they have the virgin birth, so he's not tainted of man. So there's no man's blood in him. It's just God's blood. That's why you have to have the virgin birth. They believe in the virgin birth, but they don't know why. That's the truth. They don't say why. They don't understand why. It's not in there. Okay? So they do believe he was born of a virgin. I did not know that. During his prophetic mission, Jesus performed many miracles. God tells us that Jesus said, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. I make for you the shape of a bird out of clay. I breathe into it and it becomes a bird by God's permission. I heal the blind from birth and the leper. And I bring the dead to life by God's permission. And I tell you what you eat and what you store in your houses. Now, Jesus never said that kind of stuff, okay? He never said that kind of stuff. But what's amazing is they couple Jesus with doing miracles. They say that Jesus was a miracle worker. And he was. But they don't know why. Listen, now this is where it really falls apart. This is where it really falls apart. Muslims believe that Jesus was not crucified. He was not crucified. Listen to what it's... this took me back too, preacher. It was the plan of Jesus' enemies to crucify him. It was not the plan of his enemies to crucify him. Jesus knew he had to be crucified. He went willingly to be crucified. They wanted to kill him. They desired to kill him, but he wasn't going to be killed until it was his time to be offered. Understand this. Jesus had control the whole time. He was never out of control. He had to go, he knew he had to go, and he knew how he had to go, and he knew when he had to go, and he knew why he had to go. All those things were controlled by Jesus Christ. We can say that the men grabbed him and put him on there, but let me tell you something. Jesus could have at any time stopped them from doing what they were doing. But Jesus allowed it to happen. He brought it to pass for you and for me. Glory to God. Amen. Muslims believe that Jesus was not crucified. It was the plan of Jesus' enemies to crucify him, but God saved him. And raised him up to him. No, he did not save him. He was crucified. God did not save Jesus from crucifixion. Because if God saved Jesus from crucifixion, Jesus couldn't save us from hell. And the likeness of Jesus was put over another man. Now, this gets crazy, but listen. Jesus' enemies took this man and crucified him, thinking that he was Jesus. God has said, in the Quran again, they said, "We killed the Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of God." They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but the likeness of him was put on another man, and they killed that man. That's not what happened, folks. I mean, but listen to me. Why you got to ask yourself, why do they believe this? And we'll get into this in 1 second, but understand, the reason that they hold that Jesus was not crucified, because if he was crucified for you and for me, then they would have to believe in him. So they take him off the cross so they can put Muhammad not in his place, but they put Muhammad up there with him. Now understand, they don't believe in anything but one God. But the way that you get to heaven as an Islam or an Islam as a Muslim, the way you get to heaven, you've got to believe in Allah. You also have to believe in Muhammad, the prophet of God. You have to believe in him. That's what they say. That's what they say. You have to believe in Muhammad, and you also have to believe in the day of justification or judgment, the day of judgment, which is the last day when God shall raise up all people after wiping them all out in their thoughts. But understand, the reason that my biggest thing is, what do you do with Jesus Christ? It always is. No matter who you're talking to, what do you do with Christ is the question. You have to ask yourself, when you're soul winning somebody, it always has to come around to, what do you do with Christ? You can't get around Christ. Christ is the reason that we're saved. The death of Christ is the reason that we go to heaven. The shedding of his blood, the agonizing death, the crown of thorns, the beating, all the things that he took was for you and for me. And without Christ, you cannot have salvation. Without Christ, there's no remission. Without his shedding of his blood and the taking thereof up into heaven, into the Holy of Holies, and he tore it and he rent the whole temple down. And what you got to understand is this: he did all that for you and he did all that for me. Without Christ, there is no heaven.
Yeah.
Without Christ, there's no remission of sin. Without Christ, we have no hope.
That's right.
Yes, I want you to believe in God. I do. But without Christ, and let me tell you, what you come to grips with when you read about these other things, what you come to grips with is this: I and my Father are one becomes a whole lot more alive when you study this. I and my Father are one. If you'd have known me, you'd have known him. And if you know him, you'd know me. God came down in human form. They reject that. They reject that God ever came down amongst the commoners. They reject the fact that Jesus ever was God. They reject the fact that there's any other God but Allah, and Allah never came down to us. But can I help you, folks? God did come.
Amen.
He was born of a virgin just like they believe. And when you go talking to those folks and you say he was born of a virgin, they will say, yes, he was. But you have to get him to the cross.
Amen.
Because that's where it falls apart. Now listen, they don't believe, it's amazing that they believe he was born of a virgin, but they don't believe he's God's son. It was a miracle, and they believe the miracle, and they believe Jesus could do miracles. They believe he was a great prophet, but not the greatest prophet. He was a prophet, but he was so much more than a prophet.
Amen.
It's so much more. It's like calling a Baptist a Protestant. Doesn't work. Now listen, neither Muhammad nor Jesus came to change the basic doctrine of the belief in one God brought by earlier prophets, but rather to confirm and renew it. Very interesting. Last footnote, and I'm going to talk to you just for a minute. I didn't give you this page, but this is when it starts talking about the Bible. This gets my raspberries up. Muslims also believe that God revealed a holy book to Jesus. God revealed a holy book to Jesus. Now, if you talk about the scriptures, Jesus was the Word. The Word of God's forever settled in heaven. Jesus was probably there when it was written. because his hand was the one writing it. Since Jesus wrote it and is the author of it, I'm imagining that Jesus knows what it says. God didn't have to reveal the book to Jesus. He wrote it. He believed that God revealed a holy book to Jesus called the Injil. Now listen to this. This is funny. Some parts of which may still be available in the teachings of God to Jesus in the New Testament of our Bible. Some parts are still available in the New Testament.
Wow.
Some parts we can have. Amen. But this does not mean that Muslims believe in the Bible we have today. Listen to this, and this is good stuff, and wait till you get to the middle, especially you Bible students, you'll like this. But this does not mean that the Muslims believe in the Bible we have today, because it is not the original scriptures. Well, glory to God. They're right. It's not the originals. The originals are forever settled in heaven. The one we have is a copy of a copy of a copy. But glory to God, he preserved it for us. Amen. Told you there's some interesting parallels here, isn't there? They underwent, this is where it gets good. They underwent alterations. The originals underwent alterations, additions, and omissions. This was also said, listen to this preacher, you'll like this. This was also said by the committee charged with revising the Holy Bible, Revised Standard Version. This is where they got their information from. Man, grab a hold of this. This is funny stuff. This is where the Islamic faith got their stuff. Great stuff. This committee consisted of 32 scholars who served as members of the committee. They secured the review and counsel of an advisory board of 50 representatives of the cooperating denominations, and that's true. In the Revised Stinking Version, they asked everybody to come help. Everybody, please come on in and give us your thoughts, Catholic priest. That's right. Come on in. Give us everything you can think of. We've got these texts that come out of Alexandria. We want you to help us to put these together, and you give us your thoughts. I don't want a Catholic priest's thoughts on my scripture, brother. Man, that's good preaching. The committee said in the preface to the Holy Bible, Revised Stinking Version, and I've read that to my class, by the way, sometimes it is evident that the text has suffered in transmission. It did. The Revised Stinking Version did. But that's right. But none of the versions, there's one version, and it's not a version, it's the Bible.
Yeah.
Provides a satisfactory restoration, not one. In other words, we can't have the Word of God. That's what they said in the RSV. It's great stuff. Here, we can only follow the best judgment. Listen to this. We can only follow the best judgment of competent scholars as to the most probable reconstruction of the original text. The best we got is sinful man telling us what they think. Hogwash. The committee also said in the preface, notes are added which indicate significant variations, additions, or omissions in the ancient authorities. The reason that they write this, folks, the reason that this is penned, and you got to hold on to this. We'll get into this again a little bit later, but understand, I get fired up when they go after the Word of God. I really get irate over this. And listen, when I read to you what's coming out of the Quran, I'm going to shock you when I make this statement. By the way, Muhammad, I had no idea. Muhammad was illiterate. He could not read and he could not write. The people that they say this. Muhammad was illiterate. I'm not making fun of him. I'm not making fun of him at all. Understand. He's illiterate. The people that he hung around with was illiterate. Yet God gave him and his friends to write. That's what they believe. God gave him and his friends to write the Quran. They believe that only the Quran in Arabic, which didn't come on the scene until the late 600s. The Word of God has always been, folks.
Amen.
It's always been. Okay, the New Testament was penned after Jesus had come. Amen. We didn't know about the seed until the seed came. We heard about it in the Old Testament, but it wasn't revealed until the New. But the Word of God has always been. Abraham got saved just like you and I.
Do they mention Abraham in that?
That comes.
Yeah,
yes, yes, it does. And they believe in Abraham, but I don't have the time to go into all that. I've got about 60 pages at home I have to leaf through. I just wanted to get on Jesus first, because that's the most important to us, okay? And I had no idea that they believed him. But listen, when I read to you, when the angel said, "Oh Mary, God gives you good news of a word from him," let me explain something to you. This is what I think has happened here. I think what has happened is the Bible ended up somehow getting to these people. And you say, "Well, that sounds crazy." Really? It happens every day. This is exactly what happens. Somebody gets the word of God and then makes it change to what they want. Where in the world else would they get when the angel said, "Oh Mary, God gives you good news of a word from him"? Doesn't that sound an awful like, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people"? I think somewhere along the lines, this transcended Jerusalem and went in Antioch and went over to Arabia somehow, some way. Somebody brought some back, and it took him 23 years to put it together. That's how long it took Muhammad to bring this together. They believe that Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, brought this to Muhammad over a period of about 40 years. He started getting the actual words written. It took him 23 years to put it together. He got his last revelation when he died. He was 63 years old. In 633, I believe it was. Now listen to me. And listen, we'll get into this a little bit later. But they couple, they don't believe the Bible, but they pull a verse in Deuteronomy 18 to show you that Muhammad was to come. And I'm going to tell you, your eyebrows go right up in the air. How they got that out of there, I will never know. But I will show it to you when we get into that a little bit about what they believe in the Bible and what they think about the Bible. See, what you got to understand is this. When you're dealing with people, they have certain beliefs that they hold. And if you don't know what they are and you go in to speak about them, you go to speak Christ to them, what are they going to say to you? They're going to say, "We believe in Jesus," and you're going to be done. But if you understand they believe in Jesus to a point, and they don't get Christ to the cross, and Muhammad never died for you and for me. Muhammad never died for you and for me. See, that this is what they believe. Boy, this is good stuff. What they believe is this. Your original sin is gone when you trust in Allah. From there on out, you have to do good deeds plus believe in him. And you've got to believe in Muhammad, and you've got to believe and become a Muslim. So what happens is this. You have to do good deeds all along the way after you become a Muslim. You have to continue to do good deeds. You can't do bad. And if you do bad, you could come away, but you can come right back. And this is how that happens. You do a good deed that forsakes all the bad deeds that you've done. Simply put as this, and this is in their writings. I'll read this to you another time, but understand this. A man went down into a well. He was thirsty. He got himself all the drink he could handle, and he came back up out of the well. When he got there, he saw a dog whose tongue was wagging and drinking the mud that was there. So he went back down into the well and filled his shoe with water and brought it back up and gave to the dog. And the dog was refreshed. And the Prophet Muhammad said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Hey, listen to me. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. What you do is as filthy, stinking rags. Whether you give, hey, listen, preacher, if it meant that I had to be good to an animal to get to heaven, I'd be going straight to hell. Because I was mean to my dog. And cats, oh yeah, I'd run them over. Send me right to hell. Hey, listen to me. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in his crucifixion and his sacrifice for you. You've got to believe that you are not going to do good the rest of your life, and your flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's a battleground. It's a battleground, spiritual against earthly. It's a battleground inside of your body that you fight every single day. You can't merit your way to heaven, but God can help you do good while you're here. But understand this, that good is not what's going to get you anywhere. It's belief in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that's going to get you to heaven someday. Nothing else, no one else, just Christ alone.
Amen.
You grab a hold of that and you'll understand a little bit better what they're going through. Hey, listen to me. This is the fastest growing religion in our country. Right here. We better know what we're talking about when we start talking about people that are of this faith.
Man wants to merit salvation by works.
That's right. Every other religion, and I'm all done. Every other religion except scriptural religion, what this says, every other one is humanistic. Every one. There, you can't tell me one that is not. There's something that you can do to merit heaven. And every other one except this one. There's nothing you can do to merit heaven.
Look at one last scripture, preacher. We can all quote Ephesians 2:8-9, but look at Romans 11:6. 2:8-9, Ephesians says, for my grace you are saved through faith, and now your works, the gift of God, lest any man should boast. You look at Romans chapter 11, verse 6, and preacher, read it.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work.
In other words, you're either saved by grace without works, or you're saved by works without grace. You can't mix them both. You got one or the other.
And thankfully, we're saved by grace.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. Lord, please help us. Help us to see. We've got to see. We cannot go around with our head in the sand about what's going on in this world. We've got to see and we've got to know and we've got to care. Hey, listen, our religion should be the fastest growing in the world, not that one. Your religion, Jesus, you should be the one growing, not them. Lord, we need to open our mouths and speak about you. I believe, Lord, if we could get this planet saved, we wouldn't have to worry about anything else. Lord, please be with us. Help us to be louder for you and prouder about you. Help us to understand people, where they're coming from, not so we can have an evil, wicked heart towards them, so we can have a kind heart, so we can understand where they're coming from and try to help. Lord, I believe we need to help. I don't believe we need to be mean and angry. I think we should be angry when it comes to your word, but I still think we ought to be kind to people and try to help them to see what you want them to see. Lord, please be with us as we go. And let us have a great day in church today. Anoint my pastor. Give him the words that he should speak today and let him speak to these people with power today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.